Welt dort schwor, eine sachte Verhebe, eine sachte Verzehe, wann Gott beidet im Hort. Du fällst die te schwach, einen Mensch te verhebe, einen Mensch te verzehe. Allein hast du nicht dein Kraft. Lot die Sonne, ich tun ja gohne, eier du verzehst. Auch wenn der Wund noch nicht geheilt ist, bring den Hort so außer es nur an. Hei ging nun Schritt am Ernst für seine, mit dem Nächsten en mit am. Hei dreicht an so lost. Mit seiner Kraft kann ich andere verheben, kann ich andere verzeihen, so aus Hei ans verzeiht. Lot die Sonne, ich tun ja gohne, eier du verzeihst. Auch wenn der Wund noch nicht geheilt ist, bring den Hort so außer es nur an. Wer nicht anerkennen kann, dort er weidet im Hort, und trotzdem seinen Nächsten in der Überzeuge kann, der Sieg verjiebt nur Fried, en verbettert sin Hort. Lot keine Stund vergone, Jesus heilt din Hort. Lot die Sonne, ich tun ja gone, eier du verzehst. Auch wenn der Wund noch nicht geheilt ist, bring din Hort so außer es nur am, nur am.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today? Can I just see by a show, I know it's very early for audience participation, but if you wouldn't mind, just raise your hand up high if you could understand the words and the message in the song. So there are some of you who speak Low German, and could you raise your hand if you didn't? Okay, so I'll just give you a brief idea as to what the song is about. The song is called Forgiveness. And the refrain says, don't let the sun set before you forgive. Even if your heart isn't healed yet, at least take the first step to forgiving. Take your heart the way it is to God, and He will take care of the rest. But don't leave it till the next day. Start forgiving now, and the rest will follow. This next one is called Forever and Always. It's in English, so I think it should talk for itself.
Among us forever and always, we'll be living with Him. Yes, in this world you're still afraid, but have no fear, there's someone holding you. Jesus Christ has overcome this world, and He fills us with His strength. Forever and always, God will be among us forever. And always, we'll be living with Him. I too was scared and all alone. Then I found someone who now walks with me. Now I know I'm safe within His hands, and He prepares for me a heavenly home forever and always. God will be among us forever and always. We'll be living with Him. God will be among us forever and always.
Yes, God is among us. Can you turn in your bulletins so we can together read the call to worship? You who fear the Lord, praise Him. For you, O God, comes the theme of our praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, we will fulfill our vows. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. Prosperity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, He has done it. We light a light in the name of God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life. Join me in prayer. God of hope, we come into your presence this morning with confidence that you will meet us here. Where there is sadness, bring joy. Where there's tiredness, bring refreshment. Where there's despair, bring a sense of hope. Let this place be a sanctuary of safe haven for us, a home for holy words and songs and prayers. As we devote ourselves to you, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you take in the back of your blue hymnal, there's an insert. It's the theme song for Lent, My Soul Cries Out. Leanna sang it last week. You have it memorized now. So we will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Of the tea you bring, let morning and welcome everybody. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Somewhere I have a piece of paper here that says something about our speaker. Elsie Rempel is here. Elsie gathers, develops, and shares Mennonite faith-forming resources for all ages. She's an experienced teacher whose thesis for MA is theology focused on Mennonites, children, and communion. She does a lot of work with seniors and intergenerational future of the church. She has written some books. One of them's online, supposedly you can download. Another one, she has a few copies left. So, something you can consider. Please pass The Faith, The Art of Spiritual Grandparenting. And the other one's Come Lord Jesus, Be Our Host. So, something you can talk to her about. Anybody that may remember, she lived four doors down from the church. Erno and Betty kind of are family with her, and other people are also. If you look to your bulletins, there's many things to read. Chris wants to say something, so while he's getting up, I'm going to read what else people gave me. Number three, we still need three turkeys and one ham to be cooked for the shmorg. So please sign up at the back. That's from Adina. So hopefully nobody leaves the church before they've signed up.
Morning. I'd just like to highlight, it's not an announcement in the bulletin, but on the back it says that youth is at 6:30 this week, and we'll be having a joint event again, our monthly joint event, with Springfield Heights and Jubilee. We're going to meet here at 6:30 and then head out to Jubilee. Thanks.
Yes. Your bulletin twice says that next Sunday there's Sunday school. Sunday school has kindly decided that everybody would rather sing. And so Carol has invited everybody to practice next Sunday at 9:30 for the next few Sundays. So most people have got an email. If you haven't got an email, please add your name. Other than that, I think everything is self-explanatory in terms of activities. One thing I thought I should highlight is that in preparing for today, I actually looked at our church website, and it's a little bit different than it was before. I was checking back in some of the services the last couple of weeks, and lo and behold, they used to have a recording of the sermons. Now they have a recording of the entire service, which means, unfortunately, any mistake I'm making now will also be recorded. But I guess I didn't check, but there are people that are working behind the scenes on this. Somebody actually edits it, takes out all the dead spaces, and so it's something for you to keep in mind, to look at their church website and catch up on sermons you've missed. Or listen to songs so you can sing them the next Sunday. You could do that. The Sunday before, Leanna sang the song very nicely. Okay, I will now give way for the children's story. Mrs. White is here for you. Please come forward.
Good morning. How are you guys today? I thought today I would start by asking you, why do you think we have children's story at church? Jalen. Yes, to help children get to know God more. That's the number one reason. Well, it's one of the reasons. I won't say it's the number one. Rhea? Yes, if we are actually staying for the sermon, I try and explain it a little bit so you can understand it better. Piper, why do we have a children's story? Piper says it's fun. Now I'm going to tell you a reason that you haven't told me yet, and it's actually, I think, the most important reason. You are here to help all of these people remember what it means to trust. You guys go through your life. Who do you trust? You trust God. Who else do you trust? Mommy and Daddy. Who else do you trust? Friends. How about teachers? Do you trust teachers? How many of you do something you've never done before almost every day? I think you should all put your hands up, especially Piper and Caleb, like the little ones. You guys do something new every day, don't you? Some of us older people, we're kind of in a rut and we do the same thing every day and we think, oh, life is lovely. And then we look at you and we think, wow, Zara is learning how to talk to people. Piper is learning how to be a friend. Caleb comes to school and learns German, right? And you do all these things because you trust the people that are trying to help you. And when us grown-ups look at you guys, it helps us to remember we need to behave that way with God. The story the grown-ups are going to hear today is about a couple named Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham is 99 years old. And God comes and says, stop what you're doing. Put everything away. I'm going to show you a new place to live. And you know what Abraham does? He doesn't say, oh, I kind of like it where I am. He puts everything down and he goes where God tells him to go, just like you guys do every day. So that's why you come to church and sit in the front here. You go where your mom and dad tell you to go. And that's what, Piper, that's perfect, because that's what we need to remember. We need to go where God tells us to go. So can we just pray? Father, sometimes we are afraid to go where we have not gone before. Help us to remember that you are with us wherever we go. Amen. And you can go to Sunday school. Have a great time.
This next song should be very familiar to all of you guys, and I invite you to sing along. I do have my invisible band here, so we'll have to kind of go by the tempo of that. It's called Now is the Time to Worship. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come, come, come.
We worship God as we think about those in our midst. We think about those in the care homes. This week we have in the hospital Elsa Brown, the one from Rothesay and Edison. She had a stroke. And we also heard that Maria Pankratz is also in Concordia Hospital. And we have greetings from Jake Dick. I think he's the one that lives in Steinbach Personal Care Home. In addition, yesterday we heard that Louise Lage has had a series of tests, and they discovered the cause of her discomfort. She'll be undergoing major surgery on Monday at Health Sciences Center, a very delicate procedure. Please pray for Louise, Rudy, and the family as they prepare for this. I was given a notice that Mrs. Katie Voth passed away yesterday, and she is the aunt of Vic and Betty Lowen, Abe and Lenora Weeb, Walter and Helen Fast, great-aunt of Shelley and Trish Weeb, and Eric and Janet Peters. Is there anybody else that would like to share anything? Matt has a mic.
As you all know, the Lages of the last year have had a very difficult year. And just on Thursday, some very horrible and untrue things were said on the school bus. And to make a long story short, it was Chris Titterton who came out all the way to Oak Bank to take Matt out. And we want to thank Chris Titterton for always being there for Matthew in this very difficult and trying time. And I ask for your prayers for my dear son. And a very special thank you to Chris Titterton, who's always there. Thank you.
Hi, Elfrieda Gertz. I just want to say there's another person in the hospital. It's Waldemar Tom's daughter. She's a diabetic, and she broke her leg, so it will take an extremely long time to heal. Maybe we should keep her in our prayers, too. Her name is Glenda Tom, Waldemar Tom's daughter.
Thank you. I actually have my own thing to share. I didn't want to get up normally since I'm already here. On Friday night, this weekend was the Manitoba Church Manitoba Conference. Eric and I went to the Friday night service. I think Gary and Chris went to the Saturday sessions. And just the part I wanted to mention, there was just basically long church service, a good service, sorry, say that way. And there was a celebration of life at the end. On the overhead, they listed all the deaths, births, and baptisms that occurred in 2014 in the 48 Manitoba churches. But they didn't group them by congregation. Each name was listed with the name of the individual with the name of the congregation beside it, but they listed them alphabetically. And in so doing, I appreciated that the names were interwoven together with all the other brothers and sisters in the province. I thought that was kind of interesting. It was interwoven. Let us take time to come before God. As I lead you in prayer, I'll give you some pauses to fill in the blanks and ask you to close in the Lord's Prayer together. Lord Jesus, we praise you for your love and your goodness. We thank you for loving hands in our lives. We thank you for Christian brothers and sisters here in our church, in our province, and around the world. We pray for patience and healing for those undergoing tests, awaiting surgery, and receiving medical care. We pray for those who mourn among us. We pray for hope and resolution where there are conflicts, either at home or abroad. We pray for strength as we serve each other. God, we pray for forgiveness for our shortcomings and when we lack faith. We pray for rest and renewal for those away on vacation. We rejoice with those who rejoice in new and in renewed relationships. Lord, we come and we lift our innermost thoughts to you and ask that you continue to bless us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Ask the ushers to come forward as we sing a hymn, number 589. 589 in the blue hymnal.
Oh,
First scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15 to 16. When Abram was 91 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make a covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell down and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make you nations to you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after me. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, but Sarah. I will bless her and I will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. The kings of peoples will come from her. Also from Romans chapter 4, verses 13 to 25. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes through faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath. And when there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abram's offsprings, not only to those who are law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is your father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who lives to the dead and calls into life things that are not. Against all hope, God is hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver from unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has had power to do what he had promised. And this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone, but also for us to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He has delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So I ask Elsie to come forward. We pray that God blesses you as you share with us.
Thank you. John is so considerate of my size. Yesterday he offered me a benchja to stand on when he saw how short I'd become. It's good to be, very good to be here in this home of my childhood, this church home of my childhood. I remember sitting right around there and pushing my back into the not yet padded benches to feel the vibrations of my dad's wonderful baritone voice. It's one of my happy early faith memories as a child. And greetings to you from those of us who work on your behalf in the offices of Mennonite Church Canada on 600 Shaftesbury. It's always a pleasure to be in a congregation. And grace and peace to all of you in the name of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the psalm reading, which was part of our call to worship, we heard some of these words, and I'd just like to begin with them again. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. These beautiful verses call the psalmist community of faith to praise because God has answered the prayer of the sufferer. A young Abby Kayser, a college student, reflected on these words from the psalm in a meditation I got from Goshen College this week. And this is what she writes. The moment I would pinpoint as the most challenging of my entire life would be my first day as a camp counselor. It had been a very hot day with my group of fourth to sixth graders, which included complaints, constant fighting for attention, and a quickly spreading epidemic of homesickness. Making one difficult decision after the next left me exhausted. My friends, whom I had grown to rely on during staff orientation, were preoccupied with their cabins, all of which seemed to have relatively few issues. And by the time lights out finally came, I curled up on my bunk, and the pressure of my insecurity and doubts as a leader filled my chest. It seemed like I had barely fallen asleep when a deep, building, shaking boom of thunder woke me up. And before I knew it, every girl was crying and yelling my name. I'm not sure how I figured out what to do or what I ended up saying. But after a few minutes, the storm had passed and everyone calmly fell asleep. God heard my prayers, was there to give me the strength I needed to comfort my cabin. And from that day on, I had a renewed confidence in my decisions and my abilities through the awesome power of God, making me successful and grateful as I continued to learn and lead throughout the summer. Abby's spirituality is that of a young person who is just developing her leadership skills, who is just learning to lean on God in stretches where the leading gets hard. She is clearly taking steps of faithfulness on her spiritual journey. Through the thunderstorm which frightened her cabin girls, Abby is being introduced to God's imagination. God seemed to have imagined that even though Abby was feeling totally overwhelmed and was curling up in a fetal position on her bunk, she still had comfort to give to her frightened campers. Now, that's not nearly as preposterous as imagining the aged Abraham and Sarah becoming parents. But it certainly stretched her sense of what she could do if she relied on God for strength. I've often wondered, what is it about the faith journey of Abraham and Sarah that gave them the faith to believe such a preposterous promise as becoming parents of God's people in their 90s? And there are clues just a few verses after our reading ends. They took the opportunity to laugh and to argue at the idea with God. Let's hear from verse 17 on. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him." And then a few verses later, we see Abraham, who has moved beyond laughing and arguing, taking a brave step of faith and circumcising all the men in his household as a sign of this covenant. And Abraham also underwent the rite of circumcision at 99. One can wonder, was he trying to make it even more challenging for God to provide them with an heir? Whatever the case, we see in Abraham a resilient faith that has been tested by a lot of life. It is not a faith without questions or arguments, or even without humor, but it is a faith that is willing to act, even if it is costly and painful, on what he believes God requires of him and his household. That is an inspiring example of senior faith. If we learn to act in ways that trust God through life's crises, big and small, our faith can also develop that kind of resilience. And that's what inspires me about the faith of seniors. Even though I do qualify for a senior's coffee at McDonald's now, and I live with a man who gets a pension check, I'm not quite a senior yet. But I am very glad to be headed in that direction. And that kind of tough, resilient, arguing, questioning, laughing, acting faith is the kind of senior faith that I aspire to. One of the seniors who has inspired me a lot through her writing is Joan Chittister, and I quote a fair bit of her in this first book of mine. Joan is a nun and an activist for peace and creation care. She lives in the United States. She's in her 80s. She writes about aging, too. And in her book, A Gift of Years, a book that you can easily borrow from our Common Word bookstore and resource center, she writes, "Seniors can teach us how to die as well as how to live. They teach us how to make sense of the unity between life and death, how to love life without fearing death, because we know ourselves to have been always on the way, even when we didn't know where we were going." I also learned a lot about how to live and how to die from an aunt of Peter's. She had always been very gracious and friendly, but she had been very private about her faith. The only spiritual words I had heard from her before her struggle with cancer became known were the memorized prayers that she spoke at the table before we ate her delicious schnitzel. However, during her illness, her spiritual tongue was freed, and when we went to comfort her, she blessed us with deeply moving and perceptive intercessory prayers for our children. She sensed herself on the journey toward greater understanding of her purpose and an even more complete union with her Creator and Savior. That was over a decade ago. And just 2 weeks ago, we heard from another one of Peter's aunts, who was friends with a family that also had a family member at Riverview at the same time as Tanta Lisa, that Tanta Lisa had been known by the nickname Our Angel because of the way she had encouraged and prayed with other patients while she was at Riverview Hospital. Tanta Lisa's testimony helps me believe and look forward to some other things that Joan Chittister writes when she describes the last revelations of religion as an embrace of the ecstasy of life and a surrender to the mystery. As we surrender to this mystery, she writes, everything we have learned over our lifespan is integrated and begins to make sense, and helps us move toward a new beginning with God in eternity. As a result, our own spiritual lives can both challenge and support those around us. Tanta Lisa's spiritual journey certainly challenged and supported me. But her way of celebrating spiritual life after a life with more than an average amount of suffering, in the midst of great pain and bodily decline, is not the norm for all of us. If it were the norm, she wouldn't have earned the nickname Our Angel. Tanta Lisa found her own unique release as she opened her eyes to God's imagination, as she embraced life and faith well in her process of dying. Can we grow
into this kind of faith? Or do each of our faith journeys evolve differently? Does opening our eyes to God's imagination for us hold specific blessings for each of us? Yes, and yes, and yes. How can we do this? The methods are varied, but here are three basic and trustworthy ingredients that belong to that process of growing in faith. First one is learning to let go. Challenges involved with letting go happen all along life's journey. Abby, the camp counselor, let go of trying to be in charge of her cabin by curling up on her bunk and crying quietly out to God. In the gospel text we could have read, in Mark 8:33, we hear Jesus challenging Peter to let go of his understanding of God's salvation plan as Jesus rebukes Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things but on human things." This is just one strong reminder that Peter needed on his journey. Some of us are like Peter. We struggle with letting go of how we think things should be done, how we think things should be understood. But all of us need to learn to release our hold on things and let go, especially when they clash with God's imagination. Abraham had to let go of thinking of that about his own way of producing an heir through Ishmael. And for us, as we age, especially when children and grandchildren make choices that seem wrong to us, we often need to let go as a way of staying in a good relationship with the ones we love, the ones God loves even more. There are so many ways we are called to let go as we age. Doing so in faith that God can still work in situations where we relinquish control opens our eyes to see God's imagination at work. I think that's what happened with Tanta Lisa. And that leads me to a second important point. We need to name God's presence. Once our eyes are open to what is in God's imagination, we begin to see the world in new ways. New possibilities become less threatening, and hope rises up in place of the despair that was part of losing control. We need to name that hope and recognize God's hand in it. That's what Abby did in the devotional she wrote. That's what Abraham must have done as he talked to the men in his household about this new covenant and the circumcision that would be involved. That's what Peter did as he preached on the first Pentecost. That's what Tanta Lisa did as she learned to pray beautiful, spontaneous prayers. They named God's presence. But our faith journey isn't just about letting go and naming God's presence. It leads to a third ingredient, whatever our age, and that is responding to God's presence. We need to put our faith into action. Abby did this as she comforted her campers. Abraham did this as he circumcised all the men in his household. Peter did this as he led the early church. Tanta Lisa did this as she reached out to other patients at Riverview. And then, as we are acting, often we will lose sight of God's imagination, and we'll need another reminder to let go, name God's presence, and respond to that presence all over again. Our spiritual lives are full of this rhythm of letting go, naming God's presence, responding to it. As we get used to it, it can begin to feel a bit like a slow three-step waltz. And as we learn to trust God as the one who is leading this process, this slow waltz, we can relax into the arms of the one who is leading us well, the one who's got the best imagination of all. That is maturing in faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Elsie, for those words. May God continue to be with you in your work. Let us sing now a more familiar tune, number 327 in the Blue Book, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 327. You can stand. Please remain standing for the benediction. We are a chosen people, no accident, no second best, each one essential to your plan. We are a royal priesthood, sons and daughters of the King, heirs and bringers of the kingdom. We are God's special possession. What delight you take in us. Help us to take delight in you. You have called us out of darkness into wonderful light. Help us, Father, declare your praise. Fill us this week with your joy and peace as we trust the Holy Spirit to go with us. Amen. You may be seated as Ken and his band sing with us. Thank you so much for coming.
This last one is called Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, and I was actually going to try to make it here before you asked him to sit down. So, are you guys able to stand up for one more song? That'd be great. And if you could just power in, that'd be fantastic. Take it away, boys. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the cross to the grave, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Sing it like you mean it.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Thank you so much for helping me with the worship, and God bless. Have a wonderful day.